great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will say, how great is our God.
Amen.
Thank you very much, Denisa. When you came in this morning, you received a packet, and I'd like to call your attention to some of the things in there. First of all is the prayer card. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Scripture also says, "Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you." And so if you have a concern or a request or a thanksgiving, we invite you to put it down on the card and then turn on your headlights or wave your hand out the window, and one of the lot attendants will come by and pick it up and bring it up to the platform. And Dr. Verbrugge will include it in the prayer later on in the service. And the prayer requests are also given to Woodland Prayer Partners, who during this coming week will be praying to God for your concern. And so if you haven't already done so, go ahead and fill out your prayer requests at this time. There's also a registration card that you can use to let us know if you have a request or if you'd like a visit. And if you're here for the first time, we'd like to know how you heard about the Woodland Drive-In Church. And if you would let us know on the registration card, we would appreciate that very much. There's also an envelope. And if you would like to support this ministry in a financial way, we are self-supporting. You can put an offering in the envelope and give it to a lot attendant as you leave the service, and we would be grateful for that. And now Dr. Verbrugge will give us the scripture.
Thank you very much, Mike. Good to see all of you here today on this chilly Sunday, I guess. I was going to be outside, but the temperature's going down, the wind is kicking up, and I decided, you know, I don't stay inside very much, but my situation has changed a little bit. I get cold very, very easily, and so I decided I'd be inside again today, and I may be until we start getting some of those warm spring breezes that the weather people are saying are coming, but not coming any too soon. Scripture reading from today is from 2 Timothy 4. We've been going through the pastoral letters, which is 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus. Letters that Paul wrote to proteges of his who were continuing on his ministry while he went elsewhere. And for this particular letter, he is in prison. And I'll say a little bit more about that in a few minutes. And this is the last chapter of 2 Timothy. We've looked at the other three chapters over really the last couple of months. We've missed a few services for a variety of reasons, but the Word of God stands, and we can read this chapter today, the last chapter of 2 Timothy. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. And Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around a great number of teachers who will say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, Timothy, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but to all who have longed for his appearing. Do your best to come to me quickly. For Demas, because he loved the world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, and Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. I sent get Mark and bring him with you because he is helpful in my ministry. I sent Tychicus to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left in Carpus at Troas and my scrolls, especially the parchments. Alexander the metalworker did a great deal of harm to me. The Lord will repay him for what he has done. You too should be on your guard against him because he strongly opposed our message. At my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. But the Lord stood by my side and gave me strength so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. And I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet Priscilla and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus stayed in Corinth, and I left Trophimus sick in Miletus. Do your best to come here before winter. Eubulus greets you, and so does Prudence. Linus, Claudia, and all the brothers and sisters. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you all. Thank you. Pray for a cure for cancer. Pray for my health and finances since I'm no longer working and I'm applying for disability. Pray for my friend Rick. May he feel God's love in his life. Please pray for my nephew James. He had his liver transplant in January and was rushed back to Henry Ford Hospital yesterday. Shall we go to the Lord in prayer? Father in heaven, it is good to be here today. We thank you that it's not snowing like it has been on some of these cold February and even January mornings. Lord, I thank you for each person who has come here today. And I pray that each person here will receive a blessing from this service. We thank you that we are able to open your word and proclaim it freely here. We are not in a situation where we need to fear the authorities will come and disrupt the service. And we are thankful for that. And we pray that we may not only be fearless to proclaim the message, but also to live the message to the best of our ability. We thank thee, Lord, for the prayer requests that have been submitted. We do pray that you will be with James, the nephew of someone who is worshiping here, who was privileged to have a liver transplant in January, but now something seems to have gone amiss. And he was rushed back to Ford Hospital, Henry Ford Hospital, yesterday. We pray that you will be the doctors as they seek to figure out what is the situation, and that he will be able to experience your presence and healing in his body, and that the doctors will be able to do what they need to do to get that liver functioning again. We pray for Rick, a friend of someone here, that he may feel the love of God in his life. Lord, you testify in your word that you love us. In fact, you are love, and you love everyone. But that doesn't necessarily mean that people feel it and experience it. And there are some today, and probably some every day, who wish they could have a closer relationship with you, don't quite know how to achieve that. And Lord, it really isn't something that we have to achieve. It's something that we need to experience. And I pray for any here in that situation, including Rick, who needs to experience and wants to experience your love surrounding him in his life. We pray too, Lord, that you will be with another person here today who is no longer able to work and is applying for disability. Lord, we pray that that will go smoothly and that this person will experience the gift of being able to have needs taken care of through the opportunities that are available in our country for people to go on disability. We pray for this person, O Lord. And we pray too, O Lord, for a cure for cancer, for all kinds of cancer. Some cancers are easy to cure. It can simply be removed, perhaps radiation, and the cancer is gone. But there are others which that's not quite so easy, as in the case of my own cancer. We pray, O Lord, that you will bless the treatments that I am receiving and perhaps others are receiving, and that they may experience the presence of God and the healing hand of God through what treatments are available. Lord, I thank you for the treatments that I have received. Sometimes the treatments are a little more difficult, and the days are more difficult. Other times, they seem to go well. And I pray, Lord, that you will be with the treatments that are being given, that they may be effective to arrest the progress of the cancer. And we're thankful for what is being done in that regard. We pray for any others, O Lord, who have special needs. Maybe there are those here today who do have special needs. They haven't put down on a piece of paper, but you know what their needs are, and you are able to minister unto their needs. And so we pray, Lord, that you will be with any here today who has special prayer requests, special burdens on their hearts. It could be in relationships. It could be in finances. It could be in other areas of their lives. Maybe their job isn't adequate to meet their needs. Lord, we pray that you will be with all of those who are hungering for a word from you to be able to give direction to their lives. We know that you're able to do that. You've done that for so many people. And we as a drive-in church cry out on their behalf. We pray too, Lord, that you will be with our nation and our world. There are so many trouble spots in the world right now. There are so many places where people are fearful for their lives. People are fleeing from the homes that they've lived in for years. And in some places, people are even being killed. Lord, I pray that you will be with any who are in situations like that, and that they may experience the presence of your love and kindness in their lives, and that you may show that you are the God of all love, the God of all care. And we pray, Lord, that you will be with other countries of the world too, as they try to discuss world problems and solve them. And for those, O Lord, who are trying to solve problems through the use of violence, may they put down their weapons and begin to negotiate. Because when all is said and done, that's the only way in which people can get along, is if they talk to one another, understand one another. And may that be the goal, that you will raise up negotiators and peacemakers to bring peace to our world. Continue to be with us throughout this worship service. Watch over us, we pray. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the one who taught us to pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
I just wanted to say that God is so faithful. No matter what we're going through, he may not come when we want him to, but God is an on-time God.
Thank you very much, Nenisa. Those words are definitely appropriate. Every morning, there is evidence of God's faithfulness. Even if it's just bringing the sun back from behind the horizon and bringing rain, yes, bringing snow, bringing the seasons. God is indeed faithful, and especially he's faithful in that he sent his son Jesus into the world to be our Savior and Lord. Well, this is my final letter on the pastoral letters and the final message on the book of 2 Timothy. Been a little difficult trying to get through 2 Timothy. I think this is the first message on 2 Timothy that I'm actually preaching on the Sunday for which I've originally intended it. The others always had something that intervened, whether it's cold weather or my hospitalization or something like that. And in 2 Timothy, I've already mentioned that other times, but let's mention it again. This is sort of Paul's last will and testament to his spiritual son, Timothy. Paul was never married, but Timothy was like a son to him. And he even calls him, Timothy, my son, or my dear son. And he has such things in the letter as predictions that Timothy is going to suffer. And he also has predictions of people who are going to arise. In fact, he even says they are already around, who are trying to preach a different gospel from the gospel Paul preached. A very selfish gospel. A gospel in which they were trying to use the message of the gospel for themselves and to build up their own selves and to build up their own coffers. He talks about that especially in 1 Timothy 6, where he talks about the fact that there are people out there who think that godliness is a way of great gain. They were using their preaching in order to bring a message that would tickle people's ears. And they say, I want to hear more of this, and they would pay for it. Paul did not cater in his own preaching to the likes of people. Paul preached what God wanted him to preach. And he warns Timothy that there are more of that sort of person waiting in the wings. In the last part of 1 Timothy, toward the very end, he talks about gives a message to the rich in the world, of people who are using their earthly possessions, not to share them with others, but to keep them for themselves. And they saw nothing wrong with that. Even though there were many, many poor in the world in which Paul lived, they felt, I earned it, I got it, I'm going to keep it. And so Paul here gives some instructions to Timothy on how he should conduct his ministry. He does so in especially in verse 2 and in verse 5. Let me read those passages. I give you this charge, the last words of verse 1. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. And then in verse 5, but you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. This, you know, is a very typical passage to read at a time when a person is being ordained to the ministry. If I remember correctly, these verses were used in 1968, September of 1968, when I was ordained to the ministry. And it is used in many, many different forms that are used in order to encourage people to stay faithful to God's word. Not faithful to what people want to hear, but faithful to God's word. And Paul gives two reasons why these should be the priorities, and why these two verses should summarize what ministry is all about. Reason number one, Jesus is going to return as judge. Jesus hears every word we speak. And he wants those words to be kept faithful to his word. Jesus has somewhere in the Gospels that every idle word that we have and that we speak will be held against us if it is not edifying to the cause of Christ. You know, I occasionally look on Facebook. I have a Facebook page. And as I scroll through a lot of the things that are being written there, some of them are very interesting. Some of them are helpful. But there is an awful lot of junk on Facebook and Twitter and some of these other social media sites. And whatever we post on sites like that, God is going to hold us accountable for that. If we use words to attack other people, to use, as some people do, filthy language, to use words that do not edify, words that hurt, God will call us to account for that. And don't forget that. Every idle and every hapless word that we post is a word that God will remember. Use your words on Facebook and other social media sites to build people up, to spread a word of kindness, to spread a word of joy. To build up someone. To build up your spouse. To build up your children. To edify your neighbor. That's what God would have us do. It doesn't mean that everything that we put on there has to be preaching the word. But it does mean that everything we post on there should have a note of edification rather than a note of criticism or unhappiness. So that's the first reason. That's the first reason why Paul passes on those words to Timothy as to how he should use his mouth and how he should use his position as a pastor, perhaps in the church at Ephesus. Though at this particular time, he apparently wasn't there, but he had been there. The second reason is a reason more specific to Paul. He's not going to be around very much longer. About a month ago, I preached a message on Philippians 1. And in Philippians 1, Paul was in prison as he was in prison here. And in prison, we don't quite know where, but wherever he was in prison, he wasn't sure if he was going to get out, but something made him feel deep within his heart that the end was not yet. And that he would be able to continue his ministry. And he did. For a period of time after writing the book of Philippians. Now the situation is different. It is in the middle of the 60s. Nero was the emperor. Nero was blaming Christians for burning Rome. He found that a very handy scapegoat. And he was in the process of exterminating Christians for entertainment. We know that from history books. We know that from ancient Roman historians. And Paul knew that he, being one of the main leaders of the church, would also at the same time be a key target of Nero's persecution. And so he says this, starting in verse 6. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure, and departure there means death, leaving this earth, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all of those who have longed for his appearing. I read that, and I ask myself the question, can I say that? Can I make that same affirmation? I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. I know within my own heart that there are far too many times where I have not kept the faith as strongly as I ought to have. There are times when I should have spoken up to people that I did not speak up. But I know the Lord is forgiving. And I think there are times where Paul would say the same thing too, but he is looking over his life in a broad scope. And he knows to the best of his ability, he can say these words. And if you want to know what types of activities that meant for him, turn to 2 Corinthians 11, the last part. And you will find a whole list of things, of experiences that he went through on behalf of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Many of them painful experiences, beatings, whippings, imprisonment, shipwrecks, and so on and so forth. And he knows then that what is waiting for him is a reward. Now, I want this clearly understood. Paul did not live the type of life that he lived simply in order to earn a reward. He knows that he cannot stand before God on the judgment day and say to God, God, you owe me a pretty big reward because look at all the things that I did for you. The Bible is very clear that whatever reward we get from the Lord is not because we have merited it, but because God has graciously bestowed it upon us out of his love and out of his own goodness. Whatever place Paul receives in God's eternal kingdom is fine with him because he knows it is what God has chosen for him. And it is not something that he has earned in his own strength. You know, there's an interesting sort of commentary on this passage in 1 Corinthians 3. In 1 Corinthians 3, Paul also talks about his work as building on the foundation that God provided, namely Jesus Christ. That's the foundation that was laid. That's the foundation on which every preacher of the gospel and every Christian should be building in order to extend the kingdom of God here in this earth. And he talks about materials that are available. He says, if anyone builds on those foundations, gold, silver, precious stones. Now he doesn't really stop there, but then he gives three different options that are of a totally different type of material. Wood, hay, and stubble. Now, you know yourself that if you put wood, hay, and stubble in a fire, poof, it's gone. And Paul says there that every one of us, if we are a believer, and if we are trying to build on God's foundation, those are the six types of materials that we have an option for. And God will take our lives and what we have done with our lives and will put them in the furnace of testing. And if we had built with gold, silver, and precious stones, they won't melt. They will stand the test of God's fire. If we have built with wood, hay, and stubble, he says, oh, you will be saved. You'll be saved because by God's grace, God will forgive your sins. But you will see a life that has been wasted. And I just want to encourage each and every one of you, as you look over your life and as you deal with other people and as you live in your homes and your communities and in your places of work, that you will take the best building materials that are available to you and you will use them to build on God's kingdom, so that when you look at your life being tested through the furnace of testing, you will see that your life has been lived to the glory of God and the upbuilding of His kingdom. Make it your aim then to build with solid materials. I hope I have done so with my life. I hope I have not wasted words when I was proclaiming God's word to you Sunday after Sunday. I hope I have not used idle words. I hope your faith has been built through the ministry of the Woodland Drive-In Church and the sermons that you have heard. And I hope with all my heart and with all my faults and shortcomings that I can say verses 7 and 8, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course, the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but to all of those who have longed for His appearing. I hope you can say that about your own life. That your life too has been a life lived to the glory of God and lived to the upbuilding of His kingdom. I hope that when that day comes, and it will come for all of us, I do not know when my day will come. It could come soon. It could be well yet. I do not know, but it will come. And I pray that the Lord, the righteous judge, will have mercy on me. And will provide me with a crown that is in keeping with the sort of life I have tried to live. And I hope, too, that everything that I have done and everything that you have done, everything the Woodland Drive-In Church has done, everything and whatever other church you may have attended in the past, will have been done to the glory of God. As Paul says in verse 18 at the very end, to Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. I certainly hope and pray that your focus in whatever you do is that God may be glorified and that His name may be honored. We say that every week, you know, in the Lord's Prayer. Hallowed be your name. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful for the word that you have given to us. Your word is a powerful word. Your word is a majestic word. Your word is a glorious word. Sometimes we admit, we look at that word and we do not give it its full credit and its full power. But help us, O Lord, to remember that yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And the kingdom does not belong to us. Hear us, we pray then, in the name of Jesus Christ, and for his sake alone. Amen.
Before I sing this song, I just wanted to say that the song I'm going to sing, it's a Christmas song, and I have sung it before, but I wanted to sing it again because I know that Christmas is every day for redeemed Christians, and that the Christ child came, and he was born, and he died for each and every one of us. The hands of God could be so small.
Thank you again, Denisa, for sharing your music with us this morning. Immediately following the service, there will be a fellowship time in the greenhouse, and if you'd enjoy a cup of coffee or would like to get a little better acquainted, we'd love to have you stop in at the greenhouse after the service. One of the foundational beliefs of the Woodland Drive-In Church is that the Bible is God's holy word and our guide to a victorious life. And if you don't have a Bible, we would be happy to give you one with no obligation. We have regular edition Bibles, large print Bibles, and reader's editions, which have an easier to understand translation that is something that some people prefer. And we also have the story, which is Bible excerpts arranged in a chronological order so that you can read the whole story of the Bible more like a novel. And there's some explanatory transitional passages there that that assist that. And we have bilingual Bibles as well. So they're Spanish and English. And if one of these Bibles would meet a need in your home, please stop by the platform after the service and pick one up. And for the benediction this morning, I felt it might be fitting to read this passage from Philippians chapter 4. This is Paul saying, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." Thank you for coming this morning. Go with God this week and be a blessing.